Welcome to Faith and Fitness Magazine, your tool for powerful, healthy, and passionate living. I'm Brad Bloom, the publisher. You know, you don't have to look too deeply into the fitness culture to observe that while the differences aren't as much as you might imagine, there are more Caucasians who report exercising regularly than other ethnic populations. I can personally tell you that when I select stock photos to illustrate the magazine, it can sometimes be challenging to find pictures of African Americans, Hispanics, Asians, and other ethnicities. But both fitness and faith offer something for everyone. That's just one reason why I'm so pleased that my guest, Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, has offered to share with you today. Samuel Rodriguez is the president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. He earned his master's degree from Lehigh University and received honorary doctorates from Northwest, William Jessup, and Baptist University of the Americas. He has advised several presidents as well as Congress. He has been involved in both film and television and is author of You Are Next, Shake Free, as well as Be Light, a number one LA Times bestseller. He is the senior pastor of New Season Christian Worship Center in Sacramento, California, where he resides with his wife, Eva, and their three children. Welcome, Pastor Rodriguez.
Thank you for having me. Honored to be with you.
So you are one busy man, really running around. Let's get to the important conversation first. I'm joking, of course, and talk about what you do for exercise and recreation.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an OCD issue for me. I had my epiphany, my moment of zen, my go to Damascus moment when I turned 30 years of age. I found myself not in tip-top shape. I did not have any sort of egregious medical issue that prompted it. I just had my epiphany. It's time, Samuel. Unfortunately, I mean, 30, it's not that never too late, but I should have done it earlier. But Samuel, it's time to exercise. It's time to your diet and what you do for recreation to line up with what you preach on Sundays. So let's go for it. And that became the beginning of a transformation in my life. I'm an avid runner. I love running. Running to me is part of my spiritual discipline, not just physical. It's through running that I feel reinvigorated. I enjoy the exercise, especially incline running, upper running, and so forth. So my daily regimen includes push-ups. It includes cardio. And even when I'm traveling, I travel around with my bands that I use for muscle building as it pertains to chest, arms, legs, and so on. So every single day, with the exception of Sundays, there is some sort of exercise regimen that I engage
in. This current issue of Faith and Fitness magazine, we're looking at the theme, input, get it and give it. And tell me, if you would, someone that has really put input into your life, somebody that you got what you feel is some real life lessons.
Yeah, I have been blessed by having mentors like Dr. Jesse Miranda, who was my predecessor at a national level leading the Hispanic evangelical movement in America. Dr. Jesse Miranda, without a doubt. There have been others. Others that are maybe known to your audience, people of faith like James Robeson has been significant in my life as a spiritual mentor and so forth. Robert Morris, a great friend of mine earlier on in my years, Bishop T.D. Jakes. These are all individuals who have been very influential in the formation of what you now see as Samuel Rodriguez by the grace of God.
What would you say were some of the perhaps biggest life lessons that you got from some of them, something that there was an aha moment with them?
Aha moments, for example, James really opened my eyes to Samuel. It's not about you. It really isn't. Samuel, even the way you pray, this sort of prayer rubric will define you. He said, Samuel, don't pray for blessings. Pray for you to become a blessing. Do not pray for God to answer your prayers. Pray that God makes you an answer to someone else's prayer. So that right there changed me. My predecessor, Dr. Jesse Miranda, instructed me and told me, Samuel, never sacrifice truth on the altar of expediency. Always speak truth. Always live in truth. So these life lessons changed me and defined me indeed.
You know, I think a lot of people, and perhaps even more in the fitness culture, where they're working hard to work out their own self-success, if you will, a lot of times, have a hard time getting input from somebody. They sort of resist it. They feel like, I don't need that. I can work out my own problems. Can you maybe describe a little bit about some of the challenges you may have had to overcome in any attitudes like that, or how you ultimately realized that input is of tremendous value?
Ladies and gentlemen, we can't survive without input. There is no such thing as a silo of self-created success. You know, and the great writer, of course, quoted, "No man is an island to himself." We need input. Here are the three types of people we need. Here are the three types of input. We need inspiration, we need information, and let me use a theological term, we need impartation. So we need inspiration on occasion. We need information that speaks to the cognitive bandwidth, the intellect, and we need impartation that speaks to the spiritual domain. And so we definitely need input. The question is, who do we trust to provide the input? We need to trust people that can handle the, let me use preaching speakies here, that can handle the broken version of us and the blessed version of us. The Samuel that tends the valley and the Samuel that's on the mountaintop. And once we find these individuals that are not toxic, that are the opposite of being toxic, that will help elevate God's ordained purpose in us, then we will be blessed indeed. And we will we will exhibit and live out our maximum potential without any limitation. I call it living life without a limit. You are who surrounds you.
Do you think that maybe sometimes people are a little too concerned that those that surround them may not give them good input, or for whatever reason they say, well, I'd like to, but I'm just not going to. I'm going to keep them at a distance.
Right. Again, and there's reasons for that. And the reason we build these firewalls, it could be, of course, a multi-generational element. It could be culturally contextualized. It could be as a result of traumatic experiences in one's past. Whatever it may be, it's that trust factor. But the moment we appreciate that input comes from the most unorthodox of wells and resources, let me explain. I attempt every single day to receive input from my Starbucks barista, from that little child that is playing with one of my grandkids. I mean, I truly do believe that the beauty of God's tapestry and mosaic is that the good Lord is speaking to us continuously. There are messages of love, hope, inspiration, truth, and love and grace that occur constantly everywhere. So let's not be so myopic. Let's not be so rigid. Let's be open to receiving input, even from relationships or from means that we would discard on a normal day or on a normal basis. But it requires intentionality on our behalf. Are you open to receiving that input? Without that input, we really can't thrive. We may survive, but we will not thrive.
Now, you really are right that God can use just about anything at any time to feed into our lives, and he wants to. So that's really awesome. I want to switch just a bit now and ask you to describe your experiences in giving input to others. And I know you do that, like, obviously you're a pastor, so you do it all the time, but I'm curious if maybe you could describe a more intimate moment where you've given
Sure.
input to somebody, and just how, I guess, first of all, how you had to sort of go, okay, God, if this is what you want me to do, I'll do it.
Right. And it becomes, of course, the collective corporate input delivery mechanism as a pastor or speaker goes without question. That, in layman's terms, is simple. By simple, I mean there's not too much of an awkwardness component. The tension arises when you have to give input to someone that you are enamored to, you're close to, you're working with a family member, an employee, a staff, quote unquote, an Elisha, using the biblical narrative of Elijah and Elisha, a Paul and Silas, mind you. And that's when it becomes a little bit awkward. And I've done that by the grace of God. I've done that because I felt compelled, driven. I felt that I had not only a moral obligation, but a biblical imperative to address young men and women who are under my ministry, and by under, I mean they work alongside, but I have a biblical responsibility to provide viable elder stewardship. And I did that. There's a young man I have in mind right now. His name is Tony, who went through a very difficult time. Tony's a young man, just turned 40, but in his 30s, he lost his wife to cancer. And he was raising three kids all by himself. Tony was the vice president of this national organization, still is. And, you know, he was an employee of our national vice president. I felt that Samuel had a compelling reason, if not a mandate, to speak into Tony and to provide some input at a higher level. And we did that. And by the grace of God, Tony is now flourishing, thriving. His family is thriving. He married a wonderful woman, and his family, again, is living out the fullness of God's promises. But, you know, we said yes to the assignment of providing that input. We have to make sure that there is a legitimate vehicle by which we can deliver the input, and there is a trust factor on the other end, and that the other side is open to receiving that input.
So let me take this one step further. As people are listening to this, they say, okay, well, Reverend Samuel, let's say I actually am agreeable to giving input. I'm in a situation where God's called me to open my mouth. What if I mess up?
Yeah, God called you to make sure that the opening of the mouth is in alignment with the Scripture. Make sure that it's not emotionally driven. That it doesn't stem from the womb of emotional exuberance, but rather from a viable direction or drive, Galatians 5:16, from the Spirit of God indeed, and not your emotions or not even your own logical continuity, your own logical inclination. But once you know it's God, forget about the messing up part. Really, that's the least of your worry. Is there always a possibility for human error? Of course. However, if the Spirit is right, if the Spirit is right, and the inclination is right, and the motivation is right, I think we serve a good God who will bring clarity to the information or the inspiration or the impartation that we are disseminating or sharing, without a doubt. We have to trust God. This is my line. The God of the process is the God of the outcome. And we're going to have to trust God for both the outcome and the process.
And what do you say when, you know, people say, hey, I'm just working out in the gym, I'm just doing my job, I'm certainly not Pastor Rodriguez, I don't know if, you know, I'm not a pastor. Should I be doing this or should I leave it to him?
Listen, right now, and I do mean right now, we've always lived in a broken world since the fall of Adam and Eve, but the world is broken on steroids. Arguably, we are in one of humanity's darkest hours ever. So it behooves us to be light in the midst of darkness. There is no such thing as comfortable Christianity. Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. You are what you tolerate. What does this mean? It means I'm working out in the gym. I'm involved in a very rigorous exercise regimen. I'm interacting with other individuals. A little conversation, a little bit of turning on the light in the midst of darkness, a little bit of inspiration, information, impartation, may very well be the tipping point that will save that life. Not just physically, but mentally, emotionally. I could tell you stories of, I'm obviously a coffee drinker, not too much now, be careful, but I'm a coffee drinker. I'm a coffee drinker. And I go to coffee shops, and I live in a great city for coffee, Sacramento, one of the best cities in America for coffee, different coffee shops. And I'll talk to the barista and just inspire them with a little nugget. Like, I really appreciate you. You know, and they would go, why would you say that? That opens up a silo for a conversation that may last a minute and a half. But that little conversation of just affirming the image of God in every single human being, respecting one another, just sharing love, that input right there could be life-changing. We have no idea what they're going through in their own personal struggle, in their own personal lives. But the moment we can turn on the light, darkness will always flee.
Yeah, that's really true. You've really, as I listen to you share, Reverend Rodriguez, you clearly get the idea that God says, hey, faith can be something that is done all the time, not just on Sunday, not just as a worship or fellowship experience, but something that we can live out in every aspect of life. What about the people, as we're finishing up here, that say, well, I guess I feel there's just such a tendency these days for us to relegate it to certain times. How do we free ourselves to make it part of everyday life?
Let's talk about posting. It's about social media culture. Let's talk about this for a moment. Not that I want to be focusing on social media platforms, but my point is, we live in a time of constant messaging and mobilization. There's constant messaging, be it social media, be it on your phone, your smartphone, a television, streaming services, constant messaging, every commercial, every movie, every episodic series, everything, every sermon, every conversation you're trying to convey, you're preaching. I'm here to tell your faith and fitness audience that every single person is the preacher, whether you like it or not, because you're delivering a message. Let's do that, be it through the merch that we wear in the gym, be it the hat that I'm wearing, the shirt that I'm wearing, the apparel, be it the message, be it whatever it may be, the things coming out of my mouth, my attitude is the message. The way I look at people is a message. The opening the door for someone else is a message. All of this is a message. The question is, what message are you conveying? 24/7, whether we like it or not, we are saying something, even when we're saying nothing. And the question is that message a message of hope, truth, love, grace, and mercy? Or is it one of obstruction, fear, angst, consternation, and perpetual victimization? So we have a choice to make.
Well, I've been speaking today with Pastor Samuel Rodriguez on the topic of input. Get it and give it. He's the president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Association Conference, and he's also the pastor of New Season Christian Worship Center in Sacramento, California. Pastor Rodriguez, thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you for having me.